to
someone you can rely on.
Close or distant, home and away.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are and what time of the day you're listening to this episode of Talking the Blues. You may also be detracted by other things. George, how are you?
Marvellous, Paul. I've just shut my laptop, so I'm not watching Donald Trump anymore.
Excellent.
That's a wise call.
Honestly.
Would you like to say anything more?
About
other
him?
Than, other than he's certifiable.
I'm lost for words. I never thought that the world could come to this. I think we should talk about Everton.
Yeah, okay. Well, given maybe 25% of the audience that we have and 160-odd countries that listen to us are American, fair few probably would agree with you. Anyway, politics aside, if you can call it politics, one absurd situation to another. Aston Villa won 11 games, home games on the run. Best record in Europe. Didn't win against Everton. Everton had the best record in the Premier League over a calendar year away from home. Let's discuss.
Well, it seemed obvious to me after the Aston Villa match that we just closed Bramley Moor Dock, which is a big mistake, obviously, and just play away games. Just tell them, you know, we haven't got home ground anymore, and we'll just play everybody away.
I was thinking along the same lines that maybe we re-announce the fact that Goodison Park is our home game, our home ground, and we just play all of our home games at Bramley Moor.
Either that, or you hire another manager who coaches the team for the home games.
like we said when Martinez was manager, that we get David Moyes in to manage the defence, we get Martinez in to manage the attack.
Something like that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what's obvious from the match is that Everton are really happy to play anybody on the break. You know, go on then, attack us, you'll have a marvellous time. But of course, you know, when the team run out at our home stadium, that's not the mindset.
Not yet.
But, you know, from what's happened this year at Bramley Moor Dock, we're not very good at it. You know, we've been beaten. We've shipped a load of goals. So I don't know what's different.
I think it's fair to say there's tremendous room for improvement in our home form and record. That's the task that Mr. Moyes has got to address. I mean, you know, following, you know, I don't think the final whistle had gone before texts were coming through with, and I think you sent one, Paul, about, you know, the picture of David Moyes and the masterclass. And you know, you have to agree that in many of the away games, you know, well, the record speaks for itself, doesn't it? Ten in the last 12 months, and we've won on the road, which is great. It's admirable. It's applaudable. You know, yes, it can be bettered, but nobody else has bettered it. So, you know, it's a standard. He's set a great standard in away games. He's got to find a way to do it at home, because with the best will in the world, you know, there was 3,000 plus Evertonians at Villa Park on Sunday who travelled home deliriously happy, together with the thousands and thousands and thousands who were sat at home like us watching it on the telly, who were deliriously happy. He's got to find a way to make 48,000 Evertonians at Bramley Moor Dock go home happy. Because by and large, they've not been going home happy in recent weeks. So that's his task. You know, transfer the form that makes 3,500 travelling Blues deliriously happy into home form that makes 48,000 plus Evertonians deliriously happy. as I see it anyway. It's all very well having a marvellous away record, but you know, that should be the cherry on the cake. That should be the cherry on the cake. The main meal should be winning at home and winning, you know, performing at home and putting teams to the sword at home whenever they can. You know, we'd all take 1-0 wins at home if it, but every now and again you want to see them stick 4 or 5 past someone. Not ship 4 or 5. Sorry to sound negative, but he's got to get it working at home as well as he's getting it working away from home.
Well, yeah, that's obvious. So talk to me about why the same player, he's obviously not playing the same system, is he? We've got the same team out, basically. Yes, personnel change, and you know, people like Mr. Roll had a cracking match.
I think it stems from the back row. I think it stems from the fact we you know that whether he's a great right back or not, we have got a right back playing at right back rather than a centre back playing at right back because he's able to fill in. The very fact that the 5 games that Jake O'Brien has played at centre back, we haven't conceded a goal, it tends to speak volumes that the boy is playing in his natural position and enjoying himself. You know, he played with a smile on his face on Sunday against Villa because he knew what he was up against and he knew what he was doing and he knew he was doing it. When he's played at right back, there's many a time when the camera's panned on him and his face has told a completely different story. So I'm hoping on Monday, when we face Leeds, that he doesn't go with type and put Patterson back on the bench and put O'Brien back at right back to accommodate Michael Keane coming back in the middle. I'm not having a pop at Michael Keane. Michael Keane has performed really, really well this season. But his rush of blood and everything and picking up a 3-game ban has proven that O'Brien at centre back and Patterson at right back is more effective.
Andy, if I can just cut in for a minute.
By all means.
Do you think any of that is to do with the fact that Patterson probably is now fitter than he has been for quite some time? And it's just hit a patch of form? Because to me, he seems like a totally different player in the last 2 or 3 games than he has been throughout any time of his Everton career. And, you know, I amongst almost everybody else have been very critical of Patterson, not thinking that in any way was he a Premier League level right back. But maybe I was too hasty in judging that.
I think in the time that Patterson hasn't played, whether it's been through injury or a lack of confidence in him by whichever manager he was playing under, because we've got to include the previous manager in that. I think he's obviously had time to reflect upon his own game, his own, I'll use the word in the loosest way, behaviour. I think maybe he's had a period of self-reflection upon what Nathan Patterson is to Everton Football Club and what Nathan Patterson is to Nathan Patterson. You know, does he want to become a busted flush that many people put him down as? Does he want to live up to that title or that handle of an expensive waste of money when we signed him for Rangers? And I think maybe, hopefully, the boy has reflected on everything and has knuckled down in training, and he's back in the squad. He's back in the side, albeit because of a suspension to Michael Keane. But how many times have we said that this is an opportunity for someone to stake their claim for the shirt? And right now, on what we're seeing, all right, it's only short term. We'll see what happens on Monday. We'll see whether he's picked on Monday. We'll see how he performs if he's picked on Monday. But I'm hoping, I don't get an impression, I'm hoping that the boy has reflected on the last 12 months or more and thought, no, I've got to dig in here. I've got to put my nose to the grindstone, put some solid work in training, get myself fit. And when and if I get in the side, I don't let anybody down. And fingers crossed, that's what's happened.
Andy, do you think perhaps, and this is speculation on my part, somebody, probably David Moyes, has said to him, you are the best right back in the club?
Probably. I think also,
I mean, that's not a very high hurdle because, you know, we don't have many options. But well, if somebody said to you, you are the best right back in the club, would that not like fill you with confidence?
Well, it would certainly help improve the confidence level within the boy. I also think that possibly someone, maybe Moisey, maybe someone from the Scotland setup, has said to him, listen, pal, there's a World Cup in a few months. Do you fancy going to America? Ball's in your court. Get yourself fit, get yourself playing, and get yourself playing well.
Yeah,
I think there's a couple of things there. Moisey might well have said you're the best right back in the club, and we don't really want to go out and spend any more money, but it's up to you to prove that you're the best right back in the club, and that we don't need to spend the money. And I think the incentive of possibly forcing his way into the Scotland squad for the World Cup is the other incentive. It doesn't matter what the incentive is and who put it there, as long as he responds to the incentive.
Yep.
And maybe he hasn't needed somebody to tell him he's the right back in the best right back in the club. Maybe he hasn't needed anyone to actually tell him that he's got a chance, if he plays well, of making the Scotland World Cup squad. Maybe he's figured it out for himself. And if that's the case, then that is a sign of a bit of maturity within the boy. Because when he came down from Rangers, there were all sorts of stories that flew around about him being a bit of a good time Charlie. And hopefully he's no longer a good time Charlie, if he was a good time Charlie. And he's taken, you know, his profession as a footballer a lot more seriously over the last 12 months. And if he has, great, good on him. Go for it.
Okay.
Go out, go play, get select, make sure you're picked for Monday against Leeds and go out and give them a bit of a tonking and all. They're overdue a tonking from Everton Football Club and all.
George?
Nothing to add to any of that. The boy's playing well. My question to you two would be, what do you seriously think Moyes will do if Keane is fit and able to play?
My suggestion
what you thought Moyes would do.
Well, I don't know. I fear that he will reinstate Michael Keane straight away. And that either means Jake O'Brien goes back to right back or Jake O'Brien goes to the bench, which I think would be a mistake.
Or you play effectively a five across the back.
I suppose there is that option of playing Tarko Keane and Jake O'Brien.
And you tell your two fullbacks to push further forwards.
There is that option, but
I think there's absolutely no justification at all in saying to Jake O'Brien, you're moving from a central position back to, in this case, right back. So the question then becomes, well, do you drop? You're not going to drop Tarkowski, are you? Obviously. So it has to
be. The thing is, Moisey actually, I know we've been, a number of people have been highly critical of Moisey and the club that we appear to be standing pat in this January window. But because obviously we've had players suspended, injured and away at the AFCON Cup. The AFCON's over now. Illiman and Dai and Idrissa Garnaghe are coming home. They're going to get a fantastic welcome on Monday night, as members of the Senegalese AFCON winning team, and rightly so. But Moyes actually is potentially running into a bit of a selection crisis, and not because of shortages, but because of players coming back. I mean, how far is KDH away? How far is Jadon Branthwaite away? You know, Charlie Alcaraz is on the sidelines at the minute. Asnou, with his cameo role the other week, showed that he could probably make the step up. And we're running into a situation, hopefully, where it's a nice quandary that Moyes has got, and who does he select and who does he put on the bench. The one thing that should happen over the next 2 or 3 weeks with these players coming back is that the bench gets immeasurably stronger. And that can only be a good thing, because two goalies, and no disrespect to the youngsters he's had there sitting on the bench, but two goalies and two youngsters on a seven-man bench doesn't exactly strike fear into the opposition. But when they look at a bench that may contain, you know, Alcaraz, well, whoever the bench is, it's going to be stronger than it's been in the last 2 or 3 weeks. That's for absolute certainty. And we suddenly look a much more rounded squad again, even though, by our own admission, it's not as strong as we want it to be. It will look considerably stronger when those guys are back and fit and healthy and ready to rumble.
I think Gay and IGG and I will start on Wednesday.
Monday, sorry. I would think there's every chance of it, bro.
Yeah. No, I'm just wondering aloud.
I would think they both want to play if selected. I don't think either. I would be amazed if either of them say, "No, boss, we'll just go out 5 minutes before kickoff and get the adulation of the crowd." I would imagine they'd both want to play.
I don't think for a minute it's going to be their decision.
Well, I'm sure it won't be. It'll be Moyes' decision who starts and who plays and everything. But like I said, he's coming into a situation on Monday where it's not a case of there's me 11, who do I put on the bench? It's going to be a case of which 11 from 14 do I select?
Yeah.
And then fill the bench.
So from his perspective, how much better is it to say to the players who are coming back, "Look, I understand the reasons why you went away and everything else, and we were concerned about the fact that you were going to be away. But the fact is that the players who've come in and taken your position have performed really well.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to earn your position back."
Well, you would imagine that if he's going to make changes, I don't know. Put it like this: who's he going to leave out to accommodate IGG and Ndiaye? Who, you know, from the squad that played, from the side that played on Monday night, which two do you imagine he would ask to go back on the bench to accommodate IGG and Illiman and I?
George?
I would imagine that if he's definitely going to do that, and I'm not sure he will, he'd take Roll out and put him back on the bench. And forward line, well, that's a different matter, isn't it? Who was on the right and on against Villa? Hello? No, I can't remember either.
No.
I think on the basis of Roll's performance, it's almost impossible to take him out.
In which case, then you'd have to say the same about Harrison Armstrong as well. Who's barely put a foot wrong.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I mean, just speaking about the game at Villa Park, the one player who definitely cannot be taken out of the side is Jimmy Garner, who was outstanding at Villa Park. Absolutely outstanding.
Yep.
So he's not going to drop Barry because Barry played well and scored. Scored the winner, took it really well.
This is heading in an interesting direction.
Well, this is what I'm saying, bro. With these players coming, back from Senegal, and with
obviously drops Dwight McNeil, doesn't it? There's no question that
yeah, there's.
Ngai is a far more potent player than Dwight McNeil. So that's one.
Right.
The midfield, I would think he'd have every right to say to IGG, you'll get half an hour, but I'm starting this kid because he's playing well. Or the
Yeah,
other way
so
around. He says to Roll, I'm not going to give you all this game. I'm going to play him, but you'll get some of it. Because otherwise, where you're heading towards, which is interesting, I think, is that the person you drop is Grealish.
Continue with that, George.
Well, I watched the match and I watched the highlights and I watched them very carefully.
Yep.
I thought he put in a 60% effort, personally, me. And if I were the manager and I was a lot more direct than I am as a me normally, I'd go, I'm leaving you out till you give me 100%. Pal, you're a really good football player. You've got the best first touch of the club by a mile. You've got loads of good ideas, and you're not working hard enough. Rest. I'm going to give Mbaye your job.
I've got to say, I do tend to agree with a lot of that, and I said it on the last podcast, I think, that I was finding Jack Grealish a little bit frustrating as he's playing on the periphery of the game, never mind the periphery of the pitch. I think he's playing too wide. I'd like to see him playing more centrally, not centrally, but more centrally, if you like, as an inside forward in the old day, in the old vernacular. I do agree that he's got the best first touch in the club. He protects the ball well. He draws defenders to him. Invariably, they're going to foul him at some point, which he gets too vocal about. He needs to shut up chirping at the referees. If he's going to get fouled, just take the foul and earn the free kick. Don't rise to the bait, if you like, of goading referees into showing him yellow cards and et cetera, et cetera. But I agree, though. He's not, to me, he's not playing quick enough for me. I think Jack Grealish needs to play quicker. And he's not imposing himself on the game as much, in my opinion. I don't think he's imposing himself on the game as much as he could do and should do. The boy's got immense talent. He's got a big, strong physique. He can obviously handle himself with the physical side of the game. So why isn't he becoming the player we want him to be?
But could that question not be asked about his whole career?
Well, it's obvious. I mean, to be perfectly blunt, it's why he's at Everton and not still at Manchester City. Let's be honest about it. If he was doing what we're suggesting we'd like to see him do for us, he would still be at the Etihad under Guardiola. But Guardiola clearly ran out of patience with him ghosting through games. So he's moved him on. Now that's to our benefit and City's loss. I'm not bothered about Manchester City. But I just want him to be the player that we want him to be and that we think he could be. And that I'm sure he knows he could be. Just give us a bit more, Jack. You know, get us on our... I want him to be the player that as soon as he gets the ball, we're on our feet. This guy's going to do something now. He's going to do something either ridiculous or so penetrating that he just tears teams to pieces. And I'm not seeing that enough. You know, obviously he does good things and he does a lot of good things. He's just not doing it enough for my liking from a player with his undoubted talent and ability. You don't want to see a player of that ilk go through his career winning nothing because he didn't apply himself to the level that others have applied themselves. That's what I'm suggesting. This boy could go through his career not winning anything. I mean, all right, he's won trophies at City. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you do.
You know, I want him to go through his career, and as long as he's at Everton, give us a chance of winning something. I'm not all right. This season's gone. There's no League Cup. We're out of the FA Cup. But his target now, as well as being, you know, really catching Thomas Tuchel's eye and forcing his way back into the England squad for the World Cup, is to get Everton into Europe. That's got to be the target now, Everton in Europe. For every single one of them, for Patterson, if Everton got into Europe, he goes to the World Cup with Scotland. You know, for every... Just give us a bit more. We can see it there. You know, none of us are stupid. We've all been watching football for donkey's years. We've all been watching football for more years than the lads been playing it. We know what a good player looks like. We've had oodles of them in the past. Just live up to it.
So, two questions, Andy. One, will he get us to Europe? And two, will he get into the World Cup team or squad?
I honestly feel that if Jack Grealish gave us 10 to 15% more of what we're seeing from him now, yes, we could make Europe, you know, all other things being equal.
Yeah.
And yes, he could force his way into the England squad for the World Cup.
Okay.
Because if the World Cup goes ahead in America, they're going to be playing in conditions that will suit his current game, which is get the ball, hold it, make space, not work at 100 mile an hour, if you like. That will suit his game. The conditions in the World Cup would suit his game, but to get in that squad and to get him in Europe, I think he has to show us more. And I suspect that's what one of the things that Thomas Tuchel is saying to him when he speaks to him after games, as he did on Sunday. Is Jack, you played well, but come on, more. Give me more. Force my hand into having to select you. The only way you're going to do that is to work your ghoulies off. Or whatever the German for ghoulies is.
George?
Sauerkraut.
Work your sauerkrauts off.
On present form, the answer to your question is no and no. We might make Europe, but he's not going to do it. And no, he's got no chance of getting in the England squad, not playing like he's playing at the moment. I don't know about the kind of psychology of his psychology. You know, he looks like a... I don't know. I don't want to comment, really, except that I agree with what Andy's saying. And if I was Moyes, I'd go, you can sit down till you work your sauerkrauts off a bit more.
I don't see Moyes doing that, bro.
Well,
I think David Moyes would like to see Jack Grealish start every single game.
So would I, but only if he's worth it.
Yeah, and I guess it's, I guess Jack Grealish has got, he might have to respond to the form of other players around him. Because if other players come in, or when other players come in and play well, if he's still playing at a level that he's at now, and his performance and work rate, etc., stays level, but other players come in and exceed their expected level, if you like, the way that Raul stepped up on Sunday, the way Jimmy Garner's game has improved this season. And bear in mind, he's not been in a fixed position. He's played in three or four positions, Jimmy Garner, but his game is getting better and better.
So,
Yeah.
Andy, of the two, Grealish or Garner, who is the most likely to go to the US in the summer?
Right now, Jimmy Garner,
Yeah.
without a shadow of a doubt. If either of those are in Thomas Tuchel's mind, he'll go with Jimmy Garner.
I don't think Moyes for an instant has any interest whether Grealish goes to the US or not. He
Then
might pretend, and he might say to Grealish, he may have said, and I'm pretty sure he has said earlier in the season, "Look, this is your opportunity to go to the US." I'm not sure he's convinced that Grealish has done enough so far to do that. And what else can he do to motivate him to do it? That a big question mark over that. Whereas somebody like
Well,
Garner.
I don't think it's Moyes' job to motivate Jack Grealish to go to the World Cup at
No.
all.
Well, it is in the context of what he, the only way that he can secure his place in the World Cup in the US in the summer is
Yeah.
by virtue of what he does at Everton this season.
Absolutely, Paul. But that's his responsibility.
Yeah, but that's also Moyes' responsibility to
Well, Moyes is
eke that
picking
out
him.
of him. Grealish has
Look,
got so much ability. Sorry to cut
yeah,
across you.
all right.
If motivation, if application was not an issue with Grealish, then he's a world beater. The fact is that he's nowhere near a world beater. He has fantastic ability that he shows periodically, but right, take the Everton tinted glasses off. He's nowhere near it.
I think
I'm
the
afraid
mo
that.
in terms of motivation, I would have thought, if you like, there's three things in there really. There's getting Everton into Europe. There's getting himself selectable for the England World Cup squad. But isn't the motivation, to earn a full-time contract, because right now he's on loan. And if he doesn't do enough to convince David Moyes and the transfer committee that he's worth a full-time contract, then where does Jack Grealish go from here? That's the question that Jack Grealish needs to be asked, and surely has to be the motivation. Do enough. Or not do enough, work your sauerkrauts off to earn a full-time contract with Everton Football Club by getting Everton Football Club into Europe. And the cherry on the cake would be Thomas Tuchel phoning him up to say, make sure your passport's in order, pal.
I don't disagree with any of that, other than the fact that I would say that I don't think Grealish has sufficient self-motivation to follow the line that you're thinking.
Okay.
Can I ask a different question?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was you, Andy, who said just slid in if the World Cup happens. What I've heard that a couple of times, and I've been busy the last 4 or 5 days, so I haven't been looking at the papers or the news or anything. Why did you say that? What's the danger? Is this the Trump Greenland situation?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I read somewhere today that I think it was a German MP has suggested that the 8 or 9 European countries heading to the World Cup boycott it.
I'm in Scotland at the moment. I can't see that being popular.
No, probably not. And it's probably just chat, but I mean, we started this with that lunatic, and the way he's carrying on, I wouldn't want to go. I seriously wouldn't. As a supporter, I wouldn't want to go. But I mean, I just threw that out there, bro.
Oh, right.
I don't. I'm not sure we should take talking the blues down the Donald Trump road more than we have to, but.
I'm just, I was just curious because, I had
Well,
heard it a couple of other times. And because I've not been reading the back pages for the last few days, I just wondered where you got it from and who else had said anything.
like I said, I read this morning, I can't remember his name, but a German MP or a German MEP, might have been a German member of the European Parliament, has suggested that I think it's 8 or 9 European clubs, European countries destined to go to the World Cup, strongly consider withdrawing.
Right.
You know,
Okay.
as a protest against Trump and his maniacal chasing of Greenland and threatening economic tariffs that are only going to piss on his own population.
Paul, what's your, do you have any thoughts on this, or is it just a non-story? And really, if Europe is to stand up to Trump, they shouldn't do it with football players, but with something a
Absolutely.
little.
Football players are not the vehicles upon which you present an argument against Trump. If anybody wants to present that argument, and I would be very happy to do so, it has to be the national governments of each of the countries involved. And we have to stand up and we have to say what we believe to be the case with regards to Trump. And it's got, frankly, it's got nothing to do with football.
Enough.
Yeah, for any politician, be it an MEP, be it a national member of parliament across any of the countries in Europe, to use football as a vehicle for presenting a case against Trump is cowardice. It's cowardice. Full stop. If you truly believe that, you do it as you should do it. You do it as a politician, and you do it through political means. Football's got nothing to do with this.
Fair play.
You can
Fair
argue
enough.
about FIFA, and you can argue about Infantino, and about all of that nonsense about the FIFA Peace Prize, blah 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 blah. Yeah, but that is a totally different argument. If you've got an argument against the United States of America, if you've got an argument against Trump, then do it through political means, don't do it through footballing means. Does that mean that I, as a football fan, would necessarily want to go to the US to watch the World Cup in the US? Then that's my decision. It's nobody else's. Personally, I wouldn't want to do so. But let's be real here. It's got nothing to do with football. It's got nothing to do with the fact that the World Cup is in America in a few months' time. Politicians have to sort this out themselves.
Okay,
Yeah, true
Channel.
enough.
And you're dead right. We definitely need to give Leeds a right good stuffing on Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Yes.
look, Moyes and Everton, and in the time since Moyes has been back at Everton, nobody's won more away games than Moyes' Everton. in that period.
Well, you know, this is where we started this podcast. And, you know, half jokingly, I go, well, we need a different coach because he's clearly cracked it. We're playing away from home. We look tight. We look mean. And we're getting a bit efficient on the break and scoring goals. And we've got, you know, back come these, you know, some of our AFCON players and that. And but in order to play, you know, everybody knows that the mentality shifts completely when you play on your own ground. You're supposed to attack. They come and do an Everton. They come and sit back and wait. Well, not anymore, because they seem to sense Tottenham, Brentford, Newcastle. If you just wait for Everton, you can cut them to ribbons at home. Why? What's different? What's the shape that's different? And do we want to see Everton play at Bramley Moor Dock like they did against Aston Villa? We wouldn't mind seeing the result, that's true. But and I'm almost answering my own question, because you wouldn't want to watch them play the way they played against Brentford, West Ham, Wolves, Tottenham, Newcastle. We were terrible. And we're really efficient away from home. So there must be some... It can't be mental. It must be a formation thing. Something goes horribly wrong, and I'm not smart enough to know what it is.
Well, the first clue we'll get will be when the team sheet's announced on Monday night.
Well, we'll get a clue about something, Andy. But you know, let's be honest. The last 7 games at Bramley Moor Dock have been disastrous.
Yeah.
And you know, when the team sheet came out, none of us went, oh no, we've had it. So, you know, there's just something I can't put my finger on it, but there must be something going wrong.
Can I have a go at that?
Go for it.
And the qualification in this is, you know, as most people who listen to this will know, I'm in no means am I a football expert. Manchester City don't change the way they play at home with the way that they play away, because they have confidence in their abilities to play in both scenarios. So that's my opening comment. The second comment I would make is actually with regards to the comments that David Moyes made after the game. And it was a vindication of what he called the Everton DNA. And in that, he said, it is in the DNA at Everton that we can dig wins out. And that suggests to me that there's a fundamental belief within the club that backs against the wall, defend, away from home, opposition attack, we defend, we score occasionally, we keep a clean sheet, and we win games. But the key to me in that, and there's nothing wrong with that, as has been evidenced by our results away from home over the last 12 months. How can we, the thing to me is how do we apply that, and how do we adjust what we consider to be the Everton DNA? How can you not expand the Everton DNA to say we can achieve the same when we're at home as to what we can achieve away from home? And, you know, me as somebody who's like, you know, a million miles away from ever being involved in anything with regards to football strategy would say, that's the question that you've got to answer. We've worked out a way of playing away from home that is consistent with the players that we've got and with the tactics and with the experience that we have from our manager. How do we adjust and how do we apply that to playing at home? How do we make the Everton DNA as equally effective at home as it is away?
I don't know, but I think that is the question.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that neither. And I'm almost certain that David Moyes at this moment in time doesn't know the answer neither.
With regards to the Everton DNA, I think this is the Everton DNA of the David Moyes eras within Everton Football Club, because this DNA is considerably different to DNA that we've had in the past. And we are, all three of us are old enough to remember two distinctly different DNAs within Everton Football Club. So I think Moyes is right. It's the current DNA, and it's the DNA that he had, that the club had during his first tenure. But I don't believe it is the all-time Everton DNA, because we've seen different DNAs, and what different DNAs have produced, both good and bad, one would stress.
I agree with that, Andy. Or I guess what I'm suggesting is that this is how David Moyes sees it, and
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly, that's how he sees it.
that opens up then the question as to the suitability of David Moyes as manager of Everton, which we've had on this podcast and many other podcasts elsewhere ad nauseum. Is he the right manager for Everton Football Club? Well, open to debate.
Well, as you've said, as you yourself have said, in with Everton Football Club in its current guise and in its current condition, David Moyes is probably the best option.
No,
In as much as
I
he's made us respectable again, he's made us difficult to beat away from home. He's solidified the club. He's, all that that you've banged on about in the face of me and our kid saying otherwise. And you're probably right. Is he the man for the long term? I don't know. I don't
No,
think so personally.
I agree with everything there that you say, apart from the probably. So,
Okay.
is he the right person to take us forward long term? No, he's not. But is he the right person? And we've talked about this many times before. Is he the right person given our current situation? He is. The question, I suppose, for the rest of the season is if he thinks what we did at Aston Villa and what we did at Nottingham Forest, for example, is representative of the Everton DNA. How does he apply that logic to
Absolutely,
our
Paul.
performances at home? And it
Because,
is his responsibility as Everton manager, and I say this as a big fan of his, to make sure that if that is the Everton DNA, that DNA is as successful as ho at home as it is away. Because if you win 10 games away from home over a calendar year, as away from home, and then you replicate that at home, that is 60 points in a calendar year. And that, with a few draws along the way, comfortably gets you into European football. So that is the big question. How do we apply what he calls the DNA? How do we apply that to games at home, and how do we therefore perform in a similar manner at home in points terms? Now, I'm not talking about match performance, but in points terms, how do we apply that to our home performance, and how do we replicate that at home? And therefore, if we did that, European qualification would be, or hesitates to call it a cert, but it'd be pretty much guaranteed.
Question I can't answer.
No, I can't answer it neither. I'm
Yeah.
just posing the question.
But I think it, well, I wonder, I again, you just can't know without asking one of them, but Do professional football players, does James Tarkowski run out at Bramley Moor with a slightly different mindset than he would running out at Bournemouth or anywhere else that we've done well this season? And does Jimmy Garner, and are they supposed to feel that they should press harder than they're actually capable of doing? Because when they play at Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest, they go, no, 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 no. You break us down. Do your best. Go on. On you go. Oh, you got a corner. Well done. No, we'll clear that. We've got some big guys at the back. La, 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 la. But that if you reproduce that performance and we didn't score till 60 minutes, you wouldn't have been booed off at Bramley Moor, but the crowd would have been quiet. And I don't know, but I wonder whether the pressure of you're supposed to win at home, you're supposed to play expansive football. I don't think this squad can play expansive football. No, I think it could play DNA, Moisey DNA football really rather well. But something goes horribly wrong when the chains are supposed to be off and we're supposed to tonk people. I don't know. I just don't know.
But maybe the answer is to say what we do away from home, we should do at home.
Yeah, but that's the obvious conclusion you would come to, except I'm not sure whether the fans would accept it. You know, when you go away from home, you know, we've all been away fans.
Yeah.
You accept a great deal less, and you know, you expect them to be under the cosh for a bit of the game, and you know, even you know,
what I'd like to see, I just particularly when we're playing at home, I just want to see us play quicker and more aggressively, put the opposition under pressure quicker.
Andy,
I don't think we're capable of that, are we? George,
I agree with that, Paul. I don't think we are, no. And you have to practice that. You can't just go, well, this match is at Bramley Moor, so play quicker. It doesn't work. It can't work like that.
No, I accept that, but
The pace we're playing at Aston Villa on Sunday is the one that suits us. We look comfortable. And you know, Moyes would be fair play to go, yeah, we were in control of that match most of the time. They weren't worrying us. You know, yes, Jordan made a couple of good saves, but he's the best goalie in the world, and that's what he's supposed to do. But to ask them to play quicker, and I totally agree with you, I wish they could, I don't believe that they can. I think it's going to be a very slow process. And one of the most interesting things is this 18-year-old Armstrong and Garner. He's, you know, suddenly they are beginning to play a little sharper. But,
the trouble is, bro, is if we go into every game with the mindset that we took to Forest and we took to Villa, that they're going to have to break us down. We are going to be incredibly difficult for them to break down. And we're going to shut their crowd up. It shuts our crowd up straight away as well. I've not been involved in football, but I've been involved in pro sport, as you know, but you play in front of an audience. If you're doing a show and you can sense that the audience is with you, then A, it helps you relax, and I would suggest it helps you perform better.
100% it does, yeah.
So get the crowd into it. Yeah, whatever we have to do to get the crowd motivated at home, because people are saying it. I'm not saying it, but people, well, I have said it, to be fair. I'm talking tosh there. That there doesn't appear to be a great atmosphere at the Hill Dickinson at the moment. You know, yes, there's a bigger crowd than we used to have at Goodison. And when it makes noise, it makes tremendous noise. But I'm talking about a general atmosphere within the stadium throughout the game. And the crowd are not fully engaged, I don't think, with the game. They're fully engaged with Everton Football Club, but not with the game. So consequently, they'll sit there on their hands.
I
And
think
I
it's
think we
really interesting because if I take a totally pragmatic view from this, and if I remove the fact that I'm an Evertonian, I would say if I was the manager of Everton Football Club, be it David Moyes or anybody else, frankly, I don't give a toss what the home crowd think about the way that we perform. What I'm most concerned about is what the result is at the end of the day.
Well, if you don't give a toss what the crowd think,
Because nobody gives a toss about the way that we play away from home. What they really are interested in is what the result is. A
you're
1-0
thinking,
victory at
yeah.
Aston Villa in the manner in which we played is totally acceptable.
It's acceptable.
Why would that not be acceptable at Hill Dickinson Stadium?
Because,
Because of expectation.
yeah,
Yeah.
when you're on your own turf, on your own patch, in a facility where you are ex or you would hopefully feel more comfortable, then surely you should be able to express yourself a little bit better than, I mean, don't get me wrong, Paul,
I would
if
argue that
we
all of those things have absolutely nothing to do with the result of the game.
Well, let me put it like this. If we played 18, 19 home games next season at Hill Dickinson, and every one we win 1-0, then in terms of results, everyone's going to be deliriously happy. But if the performances, and you're going to say it was a good performance at Villa Park, and it was a good performance at Villa Park, it's not the performance that I would want to see in my own stadium. And I would wager that the 48,000 plus who were there on Monday night when we played Leeds, whilst we would take a 1-0 victory over Leeds,
Oh, yeah.
would much prefer to see 3 or 4-0 and as wave after wave after wave of attack and noise ringing round the stadium, other than from Yorkshire voices.
Yeah, but I'm not directing it this at you directly, but frankly, that's fantasy land because it ain't gonna happen with the squad that we've got and with the manager that we've got. So we have to look at things as they are rather than as we wish them to be. And the fact is, if we performed in 10 of the 19 home games that we have, in the manner in which we performed at Aston Villa, then we would accumulate more points than we would do otherwise.
Well, I
Sorry,
mean, this.
I'm being slightly, I am being slightly argumentative here,
No, well,
but
yeah, we know that because that's just your natural way,
oh, thank you very much.
confrontational. But I think you know where I'm coming from.
I do, I
As a
do.
supporter of Everton Football Club, I want to see Everton Football Club play football in the way that we know that the club has performed and played football in the past. Not all the time, I'll admit. There have been times in the past 40, 50, 60 years when some of the football we've seen, be it at Goodison Park or anywhere else for that matter, has been simply woeful. But there have been other times and other periods in our history when the football we've played has made 40, 50, 60,000 people positively orgasmic. And that's what I want to see from Everton Football Club. Football that makes me happy. Football that makes me deliriously happy. Football that makes me want to jump out of my seat and grab whoever stood next to me or sat next to me and give them a great big smacker. Because I'm excited by what I'm watching. And at the minute, particularly at Hill Dickinson, we are seeing precious little to make us feel anything remotely like that. And that's the kind of emotion and feeling I want to feel when I watch Everton Football Club, particularly at home. If we play like and perform and produce that kind of reaction on the road, even better. But we have to find a way to invigorate everybody around the club in our own patch. 1-0 wins, yes, great. But wouldn't it be nice to actually go out and completely dominate someone and give them a spanking?
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
Yeah, of course it would. But Paul's right. At the moment, given the squad, given the players we've got, given the manager we've got, that is not going to happen.
But we cannot allow that to become endemic in the future of Everton Football Club.
Well, nobody's going to ask your or mine opinion about the future of Everton Football Club. And, you know, we've no idea how long Moyes will stay there and or who they'll replace him with.
I think the thing, you know, actually, you know, some, the thing, one of the things that really frustrates me about Moisey, and I give him, I said it the other week, I give him credit for the what he brought at, you know, what he got from the side at Forest and what he got on Sunday against Villa and, you know, the way we played at Old Trafford when we won there, great. But what the kind of emotions that I've just been talking about that I want to feel again watching Everton Football Club, we have actually had those moments, albeit too infrequently, under David Moyes. There have been times when Everton Football Club under David Moyes have gone out and spanked teams, played fast, aggressive, and I don't mean hard tackling, I just mean aggressive in the way that we go about the game, taking the game to the opposition. We have done that at times under David Moyes. And I just wish he would be more expansive in the way. He's proven he can do it. He doesn't do his teams. He's proven he can do it with teams. He's not. He's proven that he can't do it consistently for whatever reason. That's what I need. I want him to address. You know, we can all remember games when we've gone out and played brilliantly. You know, and not just at home. You know, in Europe, under Moisey. You know, how many thousands went to Nuremberg? You know, travelled all the way to stupid ends of wherever it was, Kharkiv, the other, you know, the far east of Ukraine and what have you. And then there's been times at home when we've played really, really well. And you know, we have had those orgasmic feelings that I'm yearning for. You know, the night, you know, the game against Larissa in Europe, the 7-1 when we beat Roy Keane Sunderland, the day that Dave Hickson had his heart attack and we won 7-1. You know, things, you know, days like that, I want some more of those. Not necessarily for me. There's a whole legion of Evertonians out there who haven't experienced that. I want other Blues to feel that. That's all I'm asking of him. Please, David, do whatever you can with whatever you're working with at the moment to try and give us more of those moments when we just completely lose it. I don't think that's a lot to ask. It might be a lot for him to achieve. I'm not doubting that. But please, David, give us a chance, pal. Here endeth the lesson.
I think you've been reading John chapter 2, Andy, when Jesus turned water into wine.
Well, if you can manage that as well, we can all have a bevy after the game.
On the one hand, it's very difficult to argue against what you've just said because it's said with passion and it's said, with a great deal of heart, a great deal of feeling, and 40, 50 years more, sorry, of loving Everton and wanting the best for Everton. But at the end of the day, there also has to be a slight bit of realism.
I know.
The club is, and I wrote about this last week, we're in a much better place than we were. We're not in the place that we wanted to be. And this is in no way excusing anybody who is at the club currently or in any way vindicating the level of performance that we've seen so far. But the fact is, just over 12 months ago, we were
Paul,
virtually out of business.
I readily accept I'm being greedy. I want it all now.
Good.
I
Good
don't
on
want
you.
to wait. I don't want to wait another 3, 4, 5, 6 years. I want it now. I want it next season. I know I'm not going to get it this season. I want it next season. I want next season to really be the rebirth of Everton Football Club, and the Everton Football Club that you, our kid, me, and thousands of others of our generation know. Because, as I said before, there's a whole generation of Blues who've not experienced the highs that we've experienced. They've had the lows that we've experienced, and they maybe even have had more of them. I don't know, but I just want to see. Oof.
Andy,
I'll see.
none of us, let alone you, should apologise for wanting that.
100%, Paul.
Oh, thank you.
And I, in
The
in.
first step on the rung is tonking knees on Monday.
Yeah.
And so that I can phone my grandson, who's a Leeds fan, and give him some major league earache. Even though he's bigger than me and would probably crush me with one hand. No, to be fair, he's a good lad, and if they play well, I'm pleased for them, but I don't want him to play well on Monday. I certainly don't want DCL to score. Hopefully he'll get a nice reception from the Evertonians. I'm sure he will, but I don't want him to score. I want him to go home with his tail between his legs because they've been beaten 3-0.
Well, maybe you can score a consolation goal when we're 4-0
Consolation OG might help.
up.
That is me being greedy.
Right. Listen, we've been talking for a long time, so
We really. Well,
not as long not as long as
as Donald Trump, he's still
President
talking.
Trump
Oh,
is
Jesus,
talking.
it's not, is it?
He's talking more shit than oh,
Than
God.
we are.
He's off. He's off his cake.
It's not funny, Andy.
No, I know it's not funny. I know it's not. Dear God.
Somebody will have done a fact check on this speech.
And there isn't any.
Well, there'll be no truth in it. And
No.
I talk about Trump. Let's just stuff Leeds and then move on, eh?
Yes, that's the starting point. There's your task, David, for Monday. Tonk leads.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm gonna call us to a close, and I'm gonna. What actually am I gonna do? I'm gonna stop recording.
All
Well,
right.
that'd
Good
help.
luck, everybody.
If only you could find the right button.
Bye, everybody. Bye, Sooty.